The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have launched a brand new show at band.video. We are very excited about this. Here is a little teaser from how the first broadcast of American Countdown went yesterday.
Welcome tonight to the very first episode of American Countdown. We're going to be discussing the pandemic. Tonight, resolved that the pandemic is more panic than plague. Instead, and part of our opening statement, let's look at the evidence. This pandemic has been used as a pretext, as a premise for a power grab by governors, by mayors, by town managers even, all across America in ways that have never happened in American history, that are unprecedented, that are unparalleled. Our constitutional forefathers determined way back in the late 1700s that our country did not have any exception for national emergencies from constitutional liberties. There is no reference to pandemics or viruses or public health crises or declaration of emergencies in the Constitution. There's nothing in there that says that the First Amendment to the United States Constitution or the Second or the Fourth or the Fifth or the Sixth or that any of the Bill of Rights or that any other aspect of the Constitution can simply be discarded with a politician declaring that we are now in a case of a public health crisis. And our founders were far more, and the founding family and the founding generations were far more familiar with the issues of pandemics and plagues and viruses than we even are today. And yet they chose not to form any exception or exemption, as a federal court determined today in Austin, Texas, though ironically only for Planned Parenthood so far. So apparently essential services includes abortion, but doesn't include church, doesn't include the right to purchase a gun for your own defense, doesn't include the right to have free assembly either in church or for political purposes, doesn't include the right to privacy under the Fourth Amendment unless it's for an abortion, doesn't include the right to your business or your property under the Fifth Amendment unless, of course, it's Planned Parenthood. So the court's decision was right on the Constitution, but those principles of essential services should be extended and applied to all constitutionally protected liberties, not just the ones the left celebrates. But that isn't the only issue with this pandemic that is more panic than plague. For example, if we examine the data behind the pandemic, we find that not only is it being used as a pretext for a political power grab that's beyond the constitutional constraints and is unprecedented in American legal history, but in addition to that, it is being used, of course, to crush the economy and facilitate Wall Street bailouts of an unprecedented portion, with the Fed committing to printing trillions of dollars to help their friends on Wall Street and corporate America, while ordinary Americans go to record levels of unemployment. At the same time, it endangers the reelection bid of President Trump, who had done such a good job rebuilding the economy over the past 3 years, only to see it ripped away from him under this pandemic panic. But it goes beyond that. Let's look at the actual data in the pandemic data itself. So according to the various models that originally came out of places like Imperial College in the UK and other places that were relied upon in the West, this pandemic was going to be completely unique. This virus was going to be unlike any virus in modern history. So, for example, if we look at and contextualize the information by history, we find that, in fact, most viruses in the modern medical era in the last century or so does not have a wide infection rate over a compressed timetable. On average, what will happen is that a virus will expand at a rate of the worst version of a virus, the Spanish flu in 1918. Over a three-month time period, its highest infection rate in any region exposed was approximately 10% of the population.
All right. Then had that is American Countdown at band.video. Robert Barnes will be on with us today. space and time. It is Tuesday, March 31st, 2020. This is the InfoWars War Room brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com, live at band.video. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer, with you for the next 3 hours. We've got Robert Barnes coming up in studio next segment to talk about his new show, American Countdown. You just got a little taste of that. Wow, what a great addition to the band.video lineup with Robert Barnes now. I mean, just star-studded crew over there at band.video. Great commentators, news reports, everything happening, viral videos, cartoons. Literally, it's all there, folks. Band.video. So he's going to be joining us in the next segment. Tom Papert is going to be on air with us in the second hour, and I promise in the third hour to take some of your phone calls unless something crazy happens, breaking news that we have to cover. But I got all kinds of stuff across the desk today, and I kind of get the feeling the consciousness of America, the soul of America, is ready to get over this whole coronavirus thing. They're ready to go back out. They're over the panic. And really, more than anything, the fake news has exposed itself and the Democrat Party has exposed itself. So I might as well just do this. I mean, look, I got the FBI refusing to follow FISA rules still to this day. Breaking report on that. I got something that I discovered that is kind of old news, but it's not even in the news yet. So we could break it here today where NBC, I mean, folks, we can't, I mean, let's say like 99.9%. Mainstream newscasts are already using, what is it called, face masking or AI, basically. It's fake news. I mean, it's literally like fake news. You've seen what we can do now with somebody's face and voiceovers and make it look like it's really that person talking. Well, it's not. So we've got that going on, of course, just all the stacks of the coronavirus. I mean, I'm looking around now. It's pretty much everything outside of those stories. And then a couple other little tidbits that'll float ashore as we cover the waterfront here today. Civil liberties being violated. The Democrat Party and mainstream news being exposed. Now, what do I mean when I say that? I don't gamble on sports or really at all anymore, but if or when I did, I only gamble on sure bets. It's always been kind of my thing. And so it's like a sure bet. Everything that the Democrat Party and mainstream news does to try to take Trump down always ends up backfiring on them. And so the coronavirus is now in that category. What am I talking about? Well, you can flash the clocks back to the New York Health Commissioner and Andrew Cuomo and Nancy Pelosi, not even that long ago, saying, oh, nothing to panic about. Oh, Trump's overblowing this. Oh, Trump's not. Nancy Pelosi, oh, come to Chinatown. Don't be racist. Cortez, go shop at the Chinese restaurant. Don't be racist. So they tried to play this thing down at the beginning of March and at the end of February and then use Trump's response, which was extreme at the time, as, oh, Trump's bad. Look at his extreme response. He's going to crash the economy. He's trying to make you scared of the virus. He shut down flights to China. They called him racist in the media. The media's called it the Chinese virus, the Wuhan flu, and then they called him racist for saying that. So it's just another example with all eyes attached to this story where the Democrats have been totally exposed and the mainstream media has been totally exposed. Now, that's really a side issue from the coronavirus story, which to me, I think I had signed a kind of, there's obviously a lot of mystery to this, but last night, for whatever reason, in my news aggregation, I came to a clearer picture of what happened here. And it's not anything new. I just think it's what happened is obvious, but because of all the media mist and fog of war, or it's like if you're staring at a lake or something and it's nice and clear and then a fish runs by or somebody steps in the dirt and it's all cloudy and you can't see the bottom anymore. It's kind of like that. Well, the dust is starting to settle. And now that it's starting to settle, I think it's pretty obvious what's going on here. Now, there's still elements that can go either way, and there's still, you know, the final numbers and everything is still going to play out, and that narrative will be whatever it is. But I think it's pretty obvious what's happened now. This was a biological weapon or a man-made virus that came out of the Wuhan lab in China. And I think it probably was accidental. Because if they wanted to do it on purpose, they wouldn't have done it in Wuhan. And to me, that's just too obvious. Now, the other element of this, and you have to be, these are very complex times. When Trump's standing up for the U.S. military, when China says the U.S. military did this, he's right. The U.S. military did not do this. But there could be an element of reality to the fact that the United States government under Barack Obama sold these strains to the Chinese government. It was highly contested in the media. And there's also a ripple to the fact that there was the World Military Games and Event 201 in Wuhan in 2019, where you could have had somebody also release a bioagent or a virus. And so, or it could have been a convolution of both of those things. But now you look at the response, and what do you see? A full-on power grab from all angles. But because of the confusion on the front end of this, to me, that means they either mismeasured it or it came out accidentally. Because you saw the media confusion at the beginning of this. They didn't know what was going on. Which could be a sign that, oh, it was just China. And China's trying to cover it up, the fact that it escaped that lab. But then you say, but wait a second, what about Event 201? Well, either way, you see what's happened. The world is never going to be the same. They've used the coronavirus to instill permanent fear in citizens of the world of a virus or any virus. As long as they hype it up, and as long as they can show you some dead people, some sick people, and shut down the economy, then that's all they need to do. That's like checkmate on your freedoms. And so that's what this has become. That was our hunch from the beginning. I've been talking about that since February, and it's now perfectly clear. But America's over it, folks. Now, this virus may end up killing 20,000, 80,000, Fauci says tops 200,000. It won't matter. The media's already hyped it up to the extreme. And at the end of the day, and this is where Trump could have another victory. At the end of the day, or at, let's say at the end of the year, when we're looking at these numbers, because eventually they're going to take all of these graphics down. Eventually, they're going to stop measuring the death count every day. Time will tell when that is. But if the final numbers don't add up to, let's say, the H1N1 flu under the Obama administration, with tens of millions infected and tens of thousands dead, with no media hype, no economic shutdown, and then we see the numbers from the coronavirus, people are going to be scratching their heads again before the November election saying, who did this? Who took our economy down and why?
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
We are back live on the InfoWars War Room at band.video, where we have just added another transmission, the American Countdown, hosted for the first time last night by Robert Barnes. He's in studio with me. Great job last night. You know, you really are a natural at this broadcasting thing.
We'll see. Well, it's a lot of years of doing trial experience and talking to juries, so that helps.
You can talk,
I will say. I don't lack that aspect. I'm a recluse otherwise, but in this context, like when I walk into court, I'll usually be nervous and edgy, right? No matter how long I've been doing it, right up until the moment when it happens. And then once it happens, it's boom, you're in the moment and you're going.
Well, it is kind of the psyche is like, it is like that. It's like once you get in a boxing ring, all the nerves and everything, it's just like fight or flight at that point. It's like, oh, you're live. You're live. You can't think twice. You know, you said it. It's out there.
Exactly. And you've been able to combine both recently with getting some involuntary court visits just for exercise.
Well, I think I've had a few too many visits, actually.
Well, who knows what's going to happen next? I mean, this is insanity that's taking place. The degree to which first it was Second Amendment violations, then it was Fourth Amendment violations. And, you know, the people like the mayor in L.A. admitting, oh, yeah, by the way, we're tracking all of you by your phone just in case you didn't know to see who you're associating with, who you're
as if they hadn't been doing that for years.
Exactly. The NSA had been doing it forever, but now you got some local town manager doing it. There's probably no risk they'll abuse that, right? They won't check up on their ex. They won't.
Well, I was going to say, I think it kind of actually gives us a little peephole into what they've probably been doing since they've had this access.
This basically is sort of live dystopia, and we're seeing a mini preview of it. We're seeing a trailer version of it, and I think the people that sort of wield power and have always wanted to be petty tyrants have discovered, wow, all I got to do. It turns out screaming terrorism only gets you so far. Screaming a foreign, dangerous foreign enemy only gets you so far. Screaming dangerous criminals only gets you so far. Scream virus, and you can get everybody to forfeit constitutional liberties overnight. We've done something in the last week that has never happened in the 200-plus year history of America. We have never suspended. We've never done mass house arrest ever. Spanish flu in 2018. We didn't do that. We did places like St. Louis, other places. What do? They simply shut down parades, no mass gatherings, concerts, anything you would have to get a license or permit for. That they took away. Shut down the schools because the kids were particularly at risk and it could be exposed. And then recommended social distancing and other mechanisms of preventing the spread of the disease. But no shutting down of business, no closure of basic business operations, no taking away people's rights or property without just compensation or due process, no shutting down of people's Second Amendment rights, and no shutting down of people's First Amendment rights, nor any invasion of privacy under Fourth Amendment rights.
Which, by the way, that's an interesting story when you go back to the Spanish flu. Oh, racist. Of, what was it, 1912 or 1918, I think?
Yeah, it was 1918. It was 3 years. So they call it 1918 because that's when it first started. But then they actually, it was 1918, 1919, 1920.
Oh, boy.
And one of the things that they don't, that's what they're not.
That's scary. They might try to do that with this corona deal.
Absolutely. In fact, what they don't realize is that all of the, like the Imperial College estimates that they want to utilize and some of what Fauci was talking about, that says we shut down again in fall. That says we shut down for the entire right up to November election.
Right.
Now, I don't think Trump's that crazy. I don't think Trump's going to let that happen.
Well, not before the election.
Yeah, one would hope not. But that's what they plan on. They plan on shutting it down from Labor Day to Thanksgiving. And so and they're going to use that example. But nobody did this during the Spanish flu. This has never been done in American history. We've never suspended constitutional liberties. There is no public health, national health emergency exception to the Constitution. Our founders, when they wrote it, they knew all about plagues. They knew all about violence.
It was worse back then.
Far worse. Far more damaging. They had nothing close to modern medicine. No means to even know what it was that was spreading it. Often it would be blamed on witchcraft or other things. And yet, in that whole Constitution, you won't find a single word that says, hey, if you ever face a virus, we can opt out of that First Amendment.
Yeah, your God-given rights, he puts those aside to deal with the virus.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's interesting when you talk about the St. Louis and then Philadelphia story from that time period, it kind of gives us a look at, here's what happens if you do the, like, quarantine, social distance, cancel all mass gatherings. And in St. Louis, we'll call it the curve, mm-hmm. It was big at the front. And then nothing, or I'm sorry, it was low on the front and then big on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
In Philadelphia, where they, in 1918, still ran everything, didn't shut anything down, it was big on the front and then slow on the back end. So really, I think it just shows, look, the virus is going to do what the virus is going to do.
That's exactly right. You look at the whole history of viruses. So when I started studying this, I got worried when I started seeing the panic reaction. I thought the virus was more serious than a flu, because there's no way China shuts down their economy unless there's some serious problem. But on the flip side, when I saw them using it as a pretext for politicians seizing power in ways that have never happened before, and then I saw Wall Street using it as a disguise to cover for systematic problems on Wall Street, bail their banker friends out, then I became very concerned. Started looking into the data, like lawyers as trial lawyers, we cross-examine experts all the time. That allows you to have three things. First, you no longer have this sort of reverence for experts because often you can just buy one if you need to. Second, you no longer believe that experts are really as smart and skilled as they think they are, because like what Eric Weinstein talks about, Peter Thiel talks about, there has been sort of a corrosive corruption of our intellectual institutions. So these people are used to not being challenged. They're used to what the press was shocked when Trump fought back. They're not used to being questioned. You dig into the data, you look at the historical record, every virus is exactly what you talked about. They basically, once they find their vulnerable population, it goes nuts during that early stage of a novel virus. Then it just runs out of gas because it runs into a part of the population that's either effectively immune or become asymptomatic and not spread it. And then, so sort of every virus has a bell curve. Once it reaches its group that it can hit, it will spike up. Then it's going to flatten, and then it's going to go all down. All by itself, no matter what a government did. That's why even when they did the study, they found that you could affect the timing of the disease, like St. Louis did versus Philadelphia, but you could only have some impact on the ultimate infection rate over time, number one. And they found that there were cities like Grand Rapids, South Dakota, and other places that it did nothing. And they had the same or better outcome with the virus than cities who did as much as possible. So there was strong evidence that the virus of this kind, when it's so easy to spread and transmit, that it's just going to find its vulnerable population. But look at the Diamond Princess. 3 weeks stuck on a cruise ship, couldn't move, recycled air. Their chefs were infected, feeding them their food.
And think about that recycled air aspect, too. That same thing happening in apartment buildings.
Exactly.
You've got all these people locked in. They're breathing the same air.
Exactly. That's why the worst way the virus spreads is through close, confined quarters, continuous contact with other people. In the Diamond Princess, it was the worst possible scenario. Older people are more vulnerable to these form of infections because they have pre-existing respiratory problems disproportionately, and their immune system is weaker than the rest of us. And despite that, 83% of the people never got the virus. And a large number of others were completely asymptomatic.
And I look at another example like the Florida Spring Breakers. By the way, can you stick around for another segment?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, let's do another segment. I look at the Florida Spring Breakers where they all went down there. They're all on the beach. I mean, if anything's a hotbed to spread, you know, they're sharing beer bongs and you know,
and doing
lunch and everything.
Activities.
Yeah, exactly. All kind. Well, yeah. Right.
not necessarily high sanitation environment.
No. In fact, pretty much the opposite. Sharing drinks and smokes and everything else in between. And there was no large outbreak. There's no big outbreak in Florida. There's no big outbreak from kids going back to their hometowns. There are a couple of people that tested positive, and that was pretty much it. And so, and then there's the other aspect, too. Let's get into the civil rights violations on the next side, because this is unbelievable what's happening. But if you look at the average deaths per day in New York and California, and then you look at it in California, and I think it was like 2 out of 700 deaths per day are from coronavirus. Is that something you would panic about?
Exactly. And when you really study it, you find that they're misleading the data in New York and Italy and Spain. So.
And it's probably pre-existing conditions.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Donald J. Trump is president of the United States.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
And we've got Robert Barnes in studio for another segment. You're just going to do a quick segment together so that you can know, because you're going to be back on tonight, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Every night tonight, we're going to be on from 8 to 10 Eastern time. From Monday through Thursday. May do a Friday night show as well, but definitely from Monday through Thursday, 8 to 10 Eastern time, 5 to 8 Pacific time. And the goal is to be able to, and the focus is on that, not only this pandemic, but the panic from the pandemic, the policy responses from the pandemic, the attempts to use it as a pretext to steal people's civil liberties and to restructure the economy in ways that favor privileged classes and ultimately put in a whole different governing structure. They're creating the possibility of that happening.
It's a caste system. They're literally building the caste system right out of India I mean, it's just amazing, really, to watch this happen. I almost don't even believe it. It's like watching a rewrite of a history, but like a nightmare.
Completely. It's the most, what I've been telling people is that unless you've been listening to Alex Jones for the last 10 years, all of this is a complete shock.
Yeah.
Because this is a dystopian vision.
I'm so glad you said that, because I'm seeing all these people like running around like chickens with their heads cut off. They're freaking out over the coronavirus. They don't know what to do. They're digging bunkers now. They're outside of Amazon panicking. Oh, I'm going to get sick. You know, I'm like, hey, man, like, you know, viruses aren't new.
Exactly. And that something and using a virus in this way is something that someone like Alex has been talking about for a decade plus.
Well, literally, it's right out of his documentary Endgame.
Exactly. That you both have to be prepared for the actual risk of virus spreading because of the spread of biowarfare as a tool and technique for state control of populations. But also just because in a globalized economy and society, those risks increase. I mean, here, for example, China is known for 12 years since a report was done after SARS that identified the wet markets as a particular area of risk. So even if you take China at face value and say, okay, this really was just a wet market incident. Well, they've known that for 12 years that they needed to shut those down. They've been promising to shut them down.
They're reopened now.
They're reopened again today. That's the insanity of this. They got the bats and the dogs and the anteaters and all the other crazy things. I was in Hong Kong about 10 years ago because I wanted to do my birthday in two countries at once. And if you do it in Hong Kong, then you can leave in the afternoon.
Oh, and then fly over to the West Coast?
And get back to L.A. Still on your birthday. I just thought it'd be great.
Like a 48-hour birthday.
Exactly, which was fantastic.
Can I come along for the next one?
Yeah, exactly. We might skip Hong Kong, though. At least next time. I wanted to go to Hong Kong while it was still semi-free. And its freedom is slipping and slipping and slipping. Now, notice what this virus did. Completely crushed the Hong Kong protests.
And look at Taiwan, too, where now they're like, oh, yeah, Taiwan is just China.
Exactly. But when I was there, I saw the food markets. They were crazy. They fed me pigeon soup at one of the high-end, a restaurant called the Peninsula, an old English colonial restaurant, one of the highest-end hotels and restaurants in the entire area and all of China. And in the middle of the pigeon soup was the pigeon's head. So this is their idea of how they serve.
Still feathered and everything?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like the little red eye was staring at me. I was like, I'm...
Give a little pat on the head there.
I'm not in Kansas anymore.
So, but that's what I think so much of this is with the average response by the citizens on the street is, I compared it the other day to, it's like in The Sixth Sense when Bruce Willis realizes he's dead. Like, these people have been going around all comfort, laissez-faire, like, hey, it's all good, baby, you know? Yep. And then it's like, boom, they realize how fragile their health is. They realize how fragile the economy is. They realize how fragile their own structure of reality is. And it's like it all crumbled down. And so in their panic, they looked to anything for an explanation. Yep. It's a, yeah, we're not in Kansas anymore moment.
And they mass sacrificed constitutional liberties that we have managed to protect for more than 200 years. Our founders were intimately aware of viruses. They didn't include any exception to the Constitution. But today, 70% of Americans, it's now probably going to be 80, 85% by the end of the week, are under house arrest. And they're under house arrest in a way that not even a lot of the Soviet Union ever did. It's basically we've exchanged a life expectancy. Even if you assume everything worst possible about this pandemic, we basically said we would rather have 78 years living in a Cuban-style government. And Cuba has a longer life expectancy than the U.S. But that's because their lives are miserable. It turns out if you lock everybody up, you can extend their life.
Yeah, you just give them the substance they need.
Exactly. You can have your little rice every day. You know, maybe you'll get chicken on Friday.
You get a little sun from 1 to 2.
We'll give you a little sip of rum once a month. You know, that's their lifestyle. I mean, the reason why there's no alcoholism in Cuba, because you can't afford to buy alcohol. That's why there's no alcoholism in Cuba. Now there's no drug problems in Cuba either, because you can't afford to buy drugs. There's also no car accident problems. Why? Because almost nobody can afford automobiles. It's only a tiny percentage that have all those old automobiles.
Yeah, and they're all like from the 70s or whatever.
Exactly. The old ones in the 50s and 60s and gummy ones from the 70s. And then that's it. And it's because only about 5% of the population has them. So when you look at this, we've exchanged almost any American. You asked them, particularly elderly Americans who went through World War II in that era, went through many of them, the silent generation that went through the Depression. They didn't fight through all of that to choose 78 years of Cuban lifestyle rather than 77 years of American.
How about
freedom?
One day?
Exactly.
Not even a day.
Ask anybody in Cuba. They would gladly sacrifice that one extra year of life expectancy to have 77 years of American freedom. So the idea that we are going to sacrifice all of 1776 on a 1984 Orwellian altar just because they use the scary word virus, when we can prepare for the virus, we can take the steps to prepare for the virus. We can make sure our immune systems are as good as possible. We can have the most natural organic health and food available to us. We can do things that can do that. We can prepare with food supplies and other things to make sure with independent generators. There's a lot of ways we can do it to protect our health without sacrificing our constitutional liberties or crushing our economy. And so these politicians in Wall Street are using this as a pretext, and they put such pressure on the president that every time he's tried to push back, every time he's tried to say, no, hold on a second, this is a bad idea, he gets a massive wave of people saying, you want to kill 2 million people. You want to kill grandma.
And see, that's the problem, is he can't be dictated by that henpecking and by that bullying and intimidation, because then essentially he's at their will. Even though he thinks he's in control, he's not. He's really at their will if he does that. I'm not saying he does that all the time, but I think there's an aspect of this going on right now. But let's look at some of these stories that are happening when we talk about the violation of our civil rights. You had Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, who's a friend of the broadcast, arrested in Tampa Bay for holding a church ceremony.
They had the SWAT team outside the church ready to raid it to arrest him during the church service.
Yeah.
And this is even though he used better social distancing than the press does at the press club, at the press conference in the White House. So he does that. Somehow it's okay for the press to demand press conferences where they have less social distancing than he employed in his church services, and yet now he's somehow arrested. I was amazed. I was listening to people on social media say, oh, well, that was an unlawful assembly.
Said, unlawful assembly.
It's like, I haven't heard that term since the Soviet Union.
Literally.
That's insane. And you have people ratting each other out. You have people becoming, we should probably create an award for the snitch of the day. You
know, don't give them any ideas. Yeah. They already do that with their social media crap.
Well,
the censors on there.
They're doing it to another church in another part of the country. Someone who's a potential client of mine, we arranged to make sure that the police recognized that the local mayor's order were unconstitutional. So they could still form their church because their church is a small church. They were going to practice social distancing within it. But their nature of their beliefs are that they cannot forsake the physical fellowship of their fellow believers. So that's why, and not only that, they had some who couldn't use effectively social media to be able to access it due to various issues, because it's a wide cross-section economically of the people they serve. So they go to the church. People were spying on the church to see if they were going to be going to church. Called in the police. The police had to re-review and realize, okay, this was all okay, regardless of what the mayor's order was. It enraged those people so much that they went onto social media, Facebook, Twitter, doxed the church members, doxed the pastor. Then they followed that up with threats to burn down the church if they ever do it again, threatened to burn down their homes.
That's like the whole people that say anti-vaxxers are going to kill them. It's like, if you're vaccinated, what are you so afraid of? And that's another issue. We can talk about that another day. But again, moment of police officers disperse a one-year-old girl's birthday party in L.A. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't heard about this.
One-year-old birthday party in L.A. They invite some of their friends over. A line of police officers, like riot control. The LAPD, like riot patrol, shows up at a one-year-old girl's birthday party. Police arrest pro-lifers outside abortion center for praying. People are getting arrested for coughing at grocery stores and intentionally coughing on people. I mean, this is really a dystopian nightmare. Let's get one more segment with Robert Barnes to tell you what's coming up tonight. What's coming up tonight at Band Out Video on the American Countdown with Robert Barnes.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
You thought you had rights, but didn't you know God suspends those rights as soon as there's a virus?
I mean, that's how
That's how it's written in
basically,
the law?
Basically, China spread the infection of Chinese totalitarianism with the disease.
Boy, isn't that true? Haven't heard that before. That is Robert Barnes. He hosts the American Countdown, brand new to Band Out Video. Very excited about this. I mean, seriously, Band Out Video. I was thinking about this too. I'm going to end up pontificating. I want you to tell the audience what's coming up tonight. Sure. But I just want to say this about what is going on at Band Out Video, because I'm a news hound. I'm an aggregator. Like, it's probably an obsession, maybe even like on a sick psychotic level, quite frankly. And what I've noticed is that even just from my news aggregation and then seeing the flow of traffic, seeing the flow of information, seeing the trends, we're like at the beginning stages. I don't think we've hit the precipice yet or the climax, but we're climbing the mountain right now where mainstream news is really dying. And it's been dead as far as the information and all that is concerned. But as far as like the public perception, the influence, the power of persuasion, they're really starting to lose that. They're starting to lose their grip on the narrative as well. And I'm starting to see this just day to day with trends and how stories go. And so for Robert Barnes and the American Countdown to be at Bandout Video, I think this is just another, this is just like us, just like, it's like, hey, we just benched 400 pounds. And then you come back. You're like, hey, how you doing? You're like, I just benched 500 pounds. So that's kind of like what it feels like right now with, it's not even alternative news. I don't even think you could say it's alternative news. I mean, they try to ban us off of everything so they can put that label with underground, alternative. But no, this is really the mainstream. This is really where the narrative is controlled. This is where you get the most powerful information. So Robert Barnes, American Countdown, tell people where they can find it, when it's at, and what's coming up tonight.
Sure. So they can find it at AmericanCountdown.news. And what we'll be every night starting last night, from 8 to 10 Eastern time, 5 to 8 Pacific time. We're going to have some people on talking about attempts to shut down their gun shops, their willingness to stand up against it. We're going to be talking about whether or not quarantining the Constitution has created a real-world practical martial law in large parts of the United States today. In my view, it's more pernicious than martial law because we've never had mass house arrest in this country. Even in cases where various politicians have announced martial law in our 200 plus year history, they never did mass house arrest under these terms and conditions. They never did complete suspension of your right to go to church, your complete suspension of your right to do a political rally, complete suspension of your right to purchase a gun in your own defense, while mass releasing criminals and inmates, including murderers and sex offenders. So the extraordinary dangerous times we're in, we're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to talk about the constitutional effects. We're going to talk about some of the issues that are happening in the real world, talk about some of the legal remedies that may be out there, some of the legal remedies that are being pursued. We're going to have live interviews, and we'll let people call in the bottom half of the second hour to allow them to be sort of the jury and ask their own questions, and we'll give as best the answers as we can as we move forward. What this is independent information that's outside the control of the gatekeeper institutional narrative. It's not what the government necessarily wants, not what the politicians want, it's not what the institutional press wants. It's what ordinary everyday Americans want, which is honesty, truth, and an independent perspective rooted in the American constitutional tradition.
And I don't think there's a better place to go if you want to hear the daily news stories with the analysis or background of constitutional rights, your rights as an American, legal scholars like Robert Barnes will be on there breaking it down. So it's really a new way, I think, of kind of a new angle, if you will, of covering news that you really don't see anywhere. I mean, all the legal experts they bring on cable news are going to have an agenda.
They're not really trial lawyers. They don't care about constitutional law. You see, the best evidence of this is I'm one of the only lawyers in the country organizing other lawyers to bring civil rights lawsuits in this context. ACLU is busy suing for criminals, saying let's release more inmates, saying nothing about these extraordinary suppressions.
Yeah, that's such a great point. Where is the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union? You've got one-year-old birthday parties getting broken up by riot cops in L.A., you got churches getting shut down, people being arrested for praying outside of Planned Parenthoods. I mean, they're shutting down your right to assemble, shutting down your right to have a firearm. I mean, where is the ACLU? Seriously, what are they doing?
Exactly. I mean, what we're seeing is here you have the most massive civil liberty violation in the history of the United States by mayors and governors and even town managers all across the country, and the ACLU has not filed to date one single suit about it, except on behalf of inmates they want released from prison, like AOC, who wants Rikers Island freed. So that's the reality of what's taking place. And it reminds me of like what was happening with Obamacare. I brought one of the biggest class actions in history on behalf of a whole bunch of people, over 10 million Americans, 60 million medical records seized illegally by the IRS on behalf of the Obamacare initiative. And I was the only one to bring suit. Everybody in the healthcare space knew this was happening. Civil rights and civil liberties lawyers knew about it, did not not want to challenge the Obama administration's misuse and abuse of this power. And that was a tiny drop in the bucket compared to what's happening today all across America. I'm getting sob stories and horror stories from people all across the country emailing me, telling them what's happening in their lives. And there are people that don't have the economic means, of course, to afford legal representation. So that's why we're trying to put together the biggest cross group of lawyers across the country to try to provide representation on a contingency basis and some other basis to make it affordable and accessible for ordinary people. Otherwise, they will just quash and crush American liberty overnight. And what our founders thought would last for centuries will end up dying overnight because people were too scared and spooked by a pandemic panic induced by the press.
What do you think is the best way for somebody, let's say they run into the unfortunate situation during this pandemic, where a cop says you have to go home or you get threatened, you know, with fines or arrest for running your business or something like that. I mean, the way I handled it, I just said, hey, look, I know my rights. I have the right to assemble. I have the right to use the streets. You can't send me home. That's illegal. By the way, it's like, hey, you're out here too. Like, you know, you're out on the streets. Why am I not allowed to be? So what is the best response for a business owner or a citizen who may have to deal with some of these draconian illegal measures that they're taking right now?
Well, if they watch the show tonight, they'll find someone who did stand up. And because he did stand up for his rights, his rights ended up being enforced and protected. Now, it's not a guarantee that that happens, and that's when you need legal advisors and lawyers to assist you. But without question, they can share the links to this show and other shows, share information, get people educated. Self-education is the first, most critical, essential step to resisting tyranny in any form. The second is know what your rights are, become self-informed, become self-educated, assert those rights. Third, if you run into trouble legally, you can reach out to various people. We've helped create an organization called Free America Law Center. They can go to freeamericalawcenter.com, email their stories. If they want to go to my site, they can email me. That's where I'm getting a lot of messages. You can just go to barneslawllp.com, send in your story, and we'll try to find a way either to get the story published, get the news out there and information out there to back people off, or get the lawyers together. And there's lawyers that are helping out all across the country that volunteer to assist, and that will help. And so we're going to do everything we can, and we just need everybody out there to do everything they can. And what they can do is they can share information and links, like links to this show, like links to Alex's show, like links to other shows, or any other show that they like that's sharing independent sources of information. They can help provide support for those organizations that are providing independent support by purchasing the products that are available to them. They can find and spread information wherever they can if they can't afford to do any of the rest. And where necessary, reach out for legal advice and legal assistance. And we'll do the best we can. I cannot guarantee I can represent everybody or that we can represent everybody, but we'll try to do the best we can to get you the best outcome possible in this extraordinary time, a time that is very perilous to the future of the American liberty. And that's why we called it American Countdown, because we're tick-tock on the clock, and we're seconds away from midnight on the end of the American constitutional experiment unless we reverse course fast.
And by the way, a police officer doesn't want to be involved with some sort of corrosive, lengthy legal process, too. So know your rights, because let me tell you, police officer comes up to you and you start reciting your rights, they start thinking court, lawsuit, and they throw their hand, and they don't want anything to do with it. So that's one of your best first-line defenses. Just know your rights. And I think most police officers at that point just don't even want to get involved with you, and they say, okay, you know what? This guy is just going to be trouble for me, so I don't want to deal with them. All right, Robert Barnes, you can tune in tonight at band.video, the American Countdown. You don't want to miss it. Live tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central at band.video. And folks, this is all made possible. We're able to launch band.video. We're able to launch other platforms. We're able to launch other shows and transmissions and do all of this great work. I don't want to pontificate on it, but you know about it. The censorship, in the face of the censorship, they're trying to kill us digitally. They're trying to digitally assassinate us, and it's not working thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com. So hop on over to InfoWarsStore.com during this short break and check out. I have the limited edition Space Force t-shirt on right now. I think we're sold out of this. So we may still have some of these Space Force t-shirts left, but if we're out of this one, the good news is we've just launched three others. Three brand new Space Force t-shirts at InfoWarsStore.com. These are limited edition. Once we sell out, they're out. And so this t-shirt I'm wearing was limited edition. It may be sold out, but we've just launched four new t-shirts for the Space Force at InfoWarsStore.com. When you buy those t-shirts, that helps us build these studios, build these platforms, pay for the bandwidth to beat the censorship. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that does it for the first hour. Tom Papert from National File
joins me coming up. Don't go anywhere.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Owen Troyer from InfoWars.
Yeah, how you doing?
Just a real quick question for you. Are we filming? So recently, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said it's impossible in America to pull yourself up from the bootstraps. I look at the Mike Lindell story, and I think you're the perfect example that it is possible. So your story, going from a crack addict to the most successful self-employed pillow salesman in American history, is the perfect example. What do you make of a comment like that, saying you can't pull yourself up from the bootstraps in America?
Well, she's wrong. With God, all things are possible. She should go read her Bible. You know, that's why with God, all things are possible. And we have a great president that's allowing things where Christian values in our country now, you can finally, you're opening up and protecting us, protecting the Christian values. We have an amazing administration to do that, where before, you know, I always put mine out there. I wore my cross on TV. I put it right out there.
We appreciate you for that.
No shame, you know. But she's just wrong, you know. And I think with my story, you know, what people need to look for now is hope. And, you know, especially with addiction. You know, you look at addiction. Sure, my story is magnified, but people go, wow, if he can do it, I can do it. My friends, here's an example. My friends, they seen me. I was in the White House for a manufacturer summit with the president. You know, Made in America, and I'm sitting right next to him. And all my friends are going, what is that ex-crack addict sitting in the White House next to the president? That has to be God, because there's no way he could be there. With God, all things are possible. So that's it.
And two, I think it demoralizes the youth that may be coming up in a tough situation. Oh, you can't make it. No, you can.
No, I'd say they're trying to promote hopelessness so they can really, you know, it's like this socialism thing. Now, you know, you realize I didn't know anything about politics, but I think a lot of them just feel socialism as being social. They don't really know what it is or what it's going to manifest to. And they, if they looked around, they go, what's so bad with the way things are going? Things are going great, finally. You know, Donald Trump wasn't either party, really. He took a Republican Party and turned it into the Common Sense Party. Everybody was against what he was doing. But he was a common sense person. When I met him, I'm going, wow. You know, a businessman going, here's a problem, here's a solution. But it's one thing to have a problem and a solution. You better know what's going to happen with the solution, what it manifests to. That's where he's very gifted. To going, hey, if we do this, it's going to be over here. And he's such a great listener. He's like a calculator. He'll take it in. People might not like how, you know, all this, he needs to not be on Twitter and stuff. If he wasn't me for Twitter, we wouldn't be talking. You know, he did one thing. I want everybody to know the best thing he ever did was when I came out of addiction, I go, what is going on? You know what he did? He smashed political correctness, or nothing would be getting done, because it's everyone trying to shame. Oh, you can't say that. You can't say this. I was at the White House yesterday for the Black History Month. All the stuff that's been done for a population that has been ignored for 50 years, and now the lowest black unemployment rate, everybody's working. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. The prison reform, I've been speaking at prisons, and these are friends of mine that went in for stuff, and, you know, things that happened, it was in for father wounds and stuff, and all these things that went on. And that the Clintons put in all this stuff back in the day, and it's just terrible. But it's great that we're finally doing something about it.
Do you think that's what it is? It's that businessman acumen instead of the political swamp acumen that's made the difference?
100%. It's call it businessman, but call it common sense. I mean, it's such. I sit there and my friends, I go, you guys, we voted. I voted for him with faith. I had an advantage because I met him before he was, you know, when he was running. I met him August 15, 2016. So I had an advantage to see where his heart was. There was no agenda other than to help this country. I'm going, wow, he's going to be the greatest president ever. And if people realize, oh, we all went in on faith there, just on faith to vote for him. Now we have proof of concept. It should be common sense going, you guys, he said this, it did this. He said this, he did this, and it did this. You know, this isn't about as a, you know, like, it's kind of like my pill. I view every customer like my only customer. He views every person like it's the only person. And if you meet him one-on-one, he wants
to help you. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is Mike Lindell. Yes, the MyPillow guy. I got to interview him and meet him at CPAC. That was literally right before I was kicked out. And you know, there's that. But you see the media panicking over Mike Lindell because he dare start making masks and face masks for people. But I realize what it is, folks. The reason why they're really mad at Mike Lindell is because he gives credit to God and glory to God, and they cannot have that. And also, we may play the clip
Well, I'll tease you. I found an exclusive movie clip that featured Mike Lindell. You may have never known. This might also be why they hate him. Time. It's the InfoWars War Room. Tom Papert from NationalFile.com joins me now. And I'm not sure what I want to get into with Tom, quite frankly. So many places we could go. So let me put the onus on Tom Papert here. Tom, what is happening? What is the head story at NationalFile.com?
Well, right now, we're either just released or about to release a slew of articles about the world kind of recoiling against China. I think that's really the most important thing throughout this pandemic is this had a place where it started. Our government, our leaders, aside from President Trump unilaterally closing all flights off from China all the way back in January, aside from this, our entire government is complicit. Our mainstream media is complicit. Just the other day, the U.S. government intercepted thousands of fake IDs that were coming from China. Meanwhile, we've got a new story out where even Japan is realizing that China is corrupt. We're about to have a new article published. The vice prime minister of Japan called the World Health Organization the China Health Organization because, of course, the WHO has been parroting Chinese propaganda, and still they continue to. You're getting WHO officials who refuse to use the name Taiwan. They simply refer to it as a region in China. We're seeing right now this very weird type of fraud committed on not just the American people, but the global people. You're not allowed to talk about where this started. The new conspiracy theory, Owen, is that coronavirus started in a factory in North Carolina and somehow China got a hold of it. But it's all America's fault. It's really our fault right here.
Well,
in
no,
the
this
United
is actually
States,
a really important ripple to this. And again, the mainstream media is not going to talk about this. And there is a distinction, though, because then they'll try to use this to blame Trump. And that's why they're kind of playing this card right now. It's like a check. It's not a checkmate, but it's kind of a move that they could put him in check. The Obama administration did sell some infectious disease strains to the Chinese government. It was highly contested back then. You also had the event 201 World Military Games happening in Wuhan. So those things remain true. That has nothing to do with the U.S. military. That wasn't the U.S. military. That's why the president says, no, this is not the U.S. military. How dare you say that? Rightfully so, but also the right move to do as president to protect the status of the U.S. military. But this is the angle that the mainstream news won't cover, Tom. The bioweapons angle, the release from the Wuhan lab angle, and the event 201 angle. And so that's kind of like, okay, what is the origin? It's in that region, but did it come out of the lab intentionally, unintentionally? The events there, event 201, what is the connection with that? Predicting this whole thing perfectly. But here's the, it's like the elephant in the room. What China is accusing the United States of, I mean, this is like, it's like, wartime. I mean, we don't have bombs going off over our head and we're not dropping bombs on China, but this is 21st century warfare. I mean, think about it. This major outbreak around the planet, I mean, maybe they just brush it under the rug, but somebody's going to have to get blamed for this. Now, it started in China. They lied about the outbreak and then everything followed. But if you're China, you're accusing the United States of doing this. I mean, that's literally what you're doing. So now you're accusing the United States of killing thousands of your people intentionally. Now, if they actually believe that, what are they going to do in response? So that's just not something that just, you know, you pass by on the side of the road. Okay. That's like, what the heck are, what is that? So the mainstream media won't cover this angle. And so what do you think about that? You know, if China's going to accuse the United States of doing this and try to blame the United States of America for this global pandemic, well, what does that mean? Does that mean they're going to do something else? Are they going to Tori Stryker, are they going to release a bioweapon? Because, I mean, that's just, again, that's not just something you pass by on the side of the road if you're China or if you're the United States. That's like, whoa, serious stuff, war stuff.
Well, no, and it's like you just said, they don't even have to declare war because this is they have our supply network. This is 21st century war. They've already threatened to withhold necessary life-saving prescription drugs, whether it be for diabetes, whether it be for high blood pressure, whether it be for cancer, whatever the case may be. China has said that they will withhold these drugs. And we're already starting to see this all throughout the supply chain. I was talking to a friend of mine who owns a popular vape store here in Wichita. They can't get any supplies because it's all from China. And he calls and he says, but the virus is supposedly over there. And they say, yes, but we're still not shipping things to the United States of America yet. So this is something that we're going to see play out. I mean, when we're getting everything from China, the camera that I'm talking to you with, the computer chips in the computer that I'm using to stream via Skype, the lights that are lighting the studio, the parts in my car, the parts in my cell phone, the parts in the microphone, the parts in the microwave, every single thing that we get more or less comes from China. They don't have to declare war. They don't have to do anything. All they need to do is constrict our supply chain, and it can suffocate us. It can kill us. And I think, again, that is one of the big silver linings of all this, because here in the United States, I think the average person knows, thanks to President Trump calling it the China virus for two straight weeks, I think everybody in their right mind knows that this is the situation. China started this. This started in China, whether it was intentional as the research paper that was mysteriously pulled for no apparent reason stipulates that this started in a Wuhan factory that they bragged about opening, by the way, in 2017, saying it's the first level four research facility they have. Whether this began because of bat soup, whatever it is, I think the majority of Americans realize that this started in China and that China is not our friend. We are in a new Cold War with China, especially after this.
That's what it is.
And this hits us 3 months later. They're going to have three more months to build up their economy, to get things going again, while America is looking into the barrel of what could be a Great Depression.
I was trying to find out if this microphone was made in China. The microphone stand has the Made in China label. Couldn't find it on the microphone or the wires or anything. Tom's going to look into that for himself. But everybody knows
this. I
can
say that it is.
But everybody knows. See, and that's the other thing, too. It's like this has been, I mean, it's like growing up, every toy that I would get said made in China. It's like, I have a memory like we knew this. It's like everybody knew how reliant we were on this from China. China obviously knew it, too. So now it's kind of like we've reached that point where it's like China says, look, we're your daddy. We control your means of production. We control your means of steel manufacturing. Oops, Trump stopped that. We control the flow of necessary pharmaceutical ingredients. So, cooperate with us and take the blame for this, or we're going to shut you off, basically. And that's what they've done. And so it does give us the opportunity to say it's time to stop relying on China, bring the means of production back into America. But guess what, Tom? The same people that sent the means of production over there because it made them so much richer, they're not going to want to give up that golden goose. They're not going to want to kill that golden goose yet.
Well, no, that's exactly what's going to happen. And the thing is, Americans, I mean, you had Mike Lindell. I know it's something fairly simple. It's a pillow. But that is a person who actually makes his product in America. And it's probably more expensive than it has to be as a result. And I think that Americans and President Trump's administration needs to start rewarding these companies. I mean, Boeing, as an example, I've heard this as an anecdote from local aircraft workers here in Wichita, the aircraft capital of the world, for years, that Boeing wanted a contract with China. China said, okay, next year contract comes up. China says, okay, we will do the contract, but build the factory in China. They said, okay, we'll build the factory in China. The next year, China comes up and says, oh, we no longer need your factory. We figured out how to build our own airplanes that are essentially clones of a Boeing airplane. Meanwhile,
so probably a theft
Boeing,
of intellectual property on top of it.
Exactly. The biggest issue with China before all of this has been intellectual property theft and trade and trade imbalances. But now we're seeing this with the pandemic. So China took advantage of Boeing. And then Boeing, what happens with Boeing? Well, they get a multi-billion dollar bailout as part of this recent stimulus package so they can keep their heads above water. I think that companies like this need to at least be distrusted, if not punished, by the government.
Yeah, it is an interesting situation to try to analyze because you don't want to see these companies that employ so many people obviously go under. But at the same time, You know, when does accountability, when does financial accountability for major corporations come into play? The average citizen goes bankrupt, they suffer. There's no bailout for them. But if you're a major company, for some reason, you get the privilege of a bailout. We'll be right back with Tom Papert from National File. Don't go anywhere.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Some other news with Tom Papert here. This just came out of MSN, which for whatever reason has been resurrected as a mouthpiece of the establishment propaganda. We told you that first. Headline, where coronaviruses come from and why we haven't eradicated them. And so here's the story. Bats appear to be the source of the coronavirus, but it's not very clear which type or types of animals were the intermediate hosts that passed the virus on to humans. Then it goes on to tell you a little bit about the virus and then about the bats and then how they transfer it to humans. And then so they're pushing. Are people really going to buy this? Because, again, this is like the whole. This is the missing link. It's like if you're, you know, somebody trying to teach evolutionary biology or whatever, the missing link. Well, this is their missing link. Where does it come from? Does it really come from a bat? If that's true, what are the odds that it is sourced just a stone's throw away from a bioweapons manufacturing lab in Wuhan, China? And if it did come from a bat, why aren't we having more of an uproar and an outrage over the wet markets and everything that they do in China as far as consumption of these basically raw animals? They just dump a raw animal, throw it into a boiling pot and say, yep, dinner. So to me, it looks like they're going to push this thing that this was bats. Now, I don't know. So when are we going to have the explanation about why this virus is so much more deadly? When are we going to have the explanation about why this virus is so much different than everything else? And when is PETA going to address the situation in China? Don't hold your breath. So, I mean, Tom, they don't want us to question these things. They just want us to drive it. They want us to be in fear and panic and then lockdown, removal of civil liberties. Don't go back to the source. Don't ask how. Don't ask why. Don't ask these questions, you stupid peasant. It was a bat. In Wuhan, China. That was all this was. It started in China, and that's how it started. And don't ask a question, you stupid little peasant. Just shelter at home.
Oh, and we still have no explanation for why the study was conspicuously pulled that linked the level 4 biohazard bioweapon facility in Wuhan to coronavirus. It was just pulled. They didn't explain. They didn't say, well, we did a bad job and we were wrong. It was a bad news article. We didn't follow our journalistic standards. No, they just pulled it, probably at the Chinese Communist Party's behest. But regardless, this to me says that China knows to some extent they can't get out of this. They can't escape the blame. And so instead it's going to be blamed on bushmeat, the wet market, which, by the way, we do leading scientists, I should say, say that's how lots of recent infectious diseases have started. Ebola allegedly came from a bushmeat. It came from eating a monkey that had the virus. HIV is believed came from a wet market bushmeat that led to the virus. And now perhaps coronavirus is the same thing. But the question is, China is supposed to be so advanced. All the global elite love China. Hollywood says you're not allowed to criticize China. NBA players say you're not allowed to criticize China. The NBA itself says you're not allowed to criticize China. Democrats say you're not allowed to criticize China. Well, how come this great futuristic utopia is eating bat meat? How come they're frying up dogs, live dogs in oil and calling it dinner? I mean, that is the real, real issue here. If this were happening in Germany, in France, in the UK, in Kansas, there would be massive outcry. PETA would be dousing themselves in faux pig blood in the street to protest it. But when it happens in China, the number one group that you're not allowed to criticize, then all of a sudden, oh, it's not a big deal. Yeah, it started in bats. Millions of people might die. China has completely unregulated bushmeat wet markets where you can eat whatever you want. And that's just the way it is in 2020. That's just our life. That's just how we live.
No, see, I mean, I have to be honest. I'm trying not to get infuriated here, but you've gone down this path where is the public outrage over what's going on in China? Like you said, if somebody, you know, beats their dog in the front yard in Kansas, you know, 10 PETA officers will show up and pour, you know, blood on them or something. China runs these wet markets. They boil animals alive. Okay. I mean, we can go down the list. The no wage laws, the no labor laws in China, the carbon emissions. I mean, literally everything we get henpecked for in America, in the West, China does tenfold, and they just get away with all of it. And so where is the public pressure on China? Where is the institutional pressure on China? And I wish we would see this, Tom, because I think what we would find out, if they had to make the choice, China or America, these companies would choose China. But they don't want to be put in that position because they know how bad it makes them look in the public. So they want to have their cake and eat it too. But you know, if Apple and Google and all these other companies said, no, you know what? We're going to stay in China. We want to be in China. Screw you, America. Well, they would have to make that measurement inside, saying we'd rather be in China with this control and this, you know, billions of consumers here than have the American freedom, even though we're from America. These products came from America. Just screw you, America. Well, they don't want that. That's what we need right now. Okay. That's how we can kind of spin off this whole coronavirus thing from the panic-demic and everybody hiding away or our civil rights being eroded to say, wait a second. What about all these people that work in China, get rich off of the slave labor in China, and then come over here and henpeck us in America? Let's force them to choose China over America. Let's see them deal with that public perception. They won't do it, and the mainstream media won't put them up to it because they're all getting rich off of China.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what's happening. And they will never, unless the American people force them to take a decision, or the American people as President Donald Trump forced them to make a decision, we're never going to see this. But the fact is, these places have already picked China over the United States. Every time a new Hollywood major motion picture comes out, they have a choice. They can either make it a film that Americans might like to watch, or they can make it a film that might be able to get into Chinese movie theaters, in which case they're going to make millions or even billions more dollars than they would have otherwise. So the Chinese scientist is the protagonist who saves the day at the end. We saw this with The Martian, where it's the China that comes in to save the day at the end of it. And that's when all this propaganda really started hitting me. And I'm like, you can't enjoy this entertainment anymore because it's all China-centric. But the fact is, American people have to start holding these people accountable. And I think after this is the unintended consequence. If this was intentional, if it was accidentally on purpose leaked from a bioweapons facility, we don't know if it was or wasn't. We probably never will. We're never going to get the truth out of the Chinese Communist government. But this, if it is intentional, is the unintentional consequence that now you have millions of people all across the West questioning our reliance on China, questioning how come all these companies prefer China over the United States, questioning how come you're not allowed to even name China. I mean, it was a national news story. He keeps saying the China virus, millions may die, but the president keeps being mean to China. And I do, by the way, this is always important. My heart goes out to the poor people of China who have had like four or five generations now living under communism, with famine, with war, with secret police, with gulags, with concentration camps. I don't blame the individual people in China for eating bushmeat when that's probably all they can afford on their very best day. But the fact is,
that's why anything walking down the street becomes food to them.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Because when you were in a starvation situation, thanks to Mao and his great cultural revolution, and you're not allowed to use farming equipment, if you see a bird, you're sitting there thinking that can feed a family of three for 2 days.
All right. I got another story and other stories we're going to get into with Tom Papert. But well, let's just say, folks, again, stuff just doesn't add up with this coronavirus. I got another example from a hospital. If these hospitals are such war zones, why are they laying off doctors?
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The American way of life
is under attack.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
All right, the news is coming in too fast now. And it's finally starting to deviate away from the coronavirus at the center. It's still all deviating from it, but we're getting farther removed from it, which is refreshing. But we got judges releasing inmates. We got judges releasing illegal immigrants, all in the name of the coronavirus. I got all this other stuff, but we'll get to that. So much crazy stuff. I got Andrew Cuomo with what looks to be nipple piercings. I mean, nothing against it, but it seems a little strange for the mayor. We'll get into that. Some other news here with Tom Papert. Let me do this, though. Again, I identified this a while ago, why they resurrected MSN as some propaganda wing for the establishment, but they've done it. Now, this is strange to me, Tom. I was reading this story in the last break. Frightened doctors face off with hospitals over rules on protective gear. Now, this individual doctor, who's the main story here, was wearing a protective face mask. And we've already talked about this with people on the air, how they're being told they cannot wear protective face masks outside of actual, like, surgical rooms or rooms where their patients are. I've heard different stories from this. I've heard one, because that's just normal procedure and they don't regularly do that. Two, I've heard they've been told to do that not to cause panic during this coronavirus thing. Well, either way, this story, because see, it's all about any negative news and then blame Trump. But the story talks about how this doctor wore the protective mask outside of the room with the patient he was treating, and he was fired for it. Fired. He has not been the only one. And so there's other doctors and administrators they talk about in this story that lost their job for either talking publicly about the procedures inside the hospital or wearing their masks in areas they were deemed not to. Multiple doctors. If these hospitals are such war zones, if we're so desperate for healthcare workers, why are we firing doctors and healthcare providers that are wearing masks outside of the individual rooms? Something doesn't add up here, Tom.
No, that certainly makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, you would think maybe you give him a stern talking, like, say this is so bad. I don't understand why this is so bad in the first place, but it makes no sense to fire somebody. You yell at them, you tell them you're going to go an hour without pay, whatever the case may be. But if we are in a pandemic where you've got Fauci up there saying 100,000 to 200,000 dead, you have major studies that say it could have been 2 million if we didn't shut down the economy. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be up against. You're supposed to be every single bed is taken in a hospital. We've got people in the parking lots getting treatment. We've got people in the morgues overflowing. We're putting three bodies apiece in the body bags like they did in China. And if that's really what we're going to be experiencing, then you would certainly not want to fire a doctor. You would be doing anything you can. You would be telling people, complete your residency in a coronavirus ward. You would be doing anything you can to get somebody there to put another ventilator in, to do whatever. And this whole thing about masks, Owen, has been one of the most peculiar media deceptions of our time, in my opinion, because you read these articles, not even an article, you read what the CDC says, what the Surgeon General say, and they say normal people do not need a mask. It can actually make you more likely to get coronavirus if you don't know how to wear a mask. Masks will not make you safer, except doctors should all have masks, because doctors are magical, you see. And when a doctor puts a mask on, it suddenly works. And you and me, Owen, we're just stupid rednecks who have from the Midwest who have no idea. We don't understand how masks work. So we just shouldn't
even figure out this darn tootin' confangled mask set up here. How do I put myself? Am I using it right?
It I don't know. Am I hurting? Oh, I got
wait a second. Do I put it over my head like this? Does this protect me from the corona? Or maybe like this? How do I, Doc? What am I doing it right, Doc? I'm not feeling so hot. Uh-oh, Doc. What do I do? Yeah, no, it's I think we can figure it out. But you know, speaking of that, being from the Midwest, you know, I do actually talked to Jim Hoff the other day, just because I'm just the Gateway Pundit is doing such great work. And it's just so nice to see, I was saying this earlier, it's so nice to see what used to be considered alternative news or, you know, whatever. Like, we're becoming the mainstream. Like, the National File is growing, getting big. The Gateway Pundit is mainstream. InfoWars is now controlling the narrative. So they can try to hide that as much as they want, but the Gateway Pundit doing so much great work. And I was just saying to Jim, I was like, it's just so great what you guys are doing. And as someone from St. Louis, to see the Gateway City, the Gateway Arts, the Gateway Pundit, that kind of has a sense of pride for me too. But the numbers don't add up. This is from the Gateway Pundit. The numbers just don't add up. And see, these are just the common sense questions that you can just put out there. And it's just like, you don't need to be a scientist. You don't need to be a even a hayseed from the sticks like me can get it. Headline. The numbers just don't add up. Nearly 500,000 went to hospital in 2018-2019 flu season. But today there are not enough hospital beds for coronavirus patients, even though we only have said to identify 85,000. So where is all this panic? We're firing doctors for wearing masks. We're claiming hospitals are war zones. You go to a hospital, it's like dead. It's like a ghost town. Literally, it's like, I don't even want to report that. But literally, 100% of my human intel is the doctors from everybody. It's ghost town in the hospitals. Nobody there. And so now they're saying, oh my gosh, it's a war zone. We don't have the ventilators. We don't have the rooms. We don't have everything. Well, you're still looking at about, what, like 3-4 times as many people hospitalized in 2018 for the flu than the coronavirus, and yet we're saying somehow we're in a shortage here? The numbers don't add up.
Well, and the media's spin on this is, well, because of coronavirus, they're all hitting the hospital at once. But, oh, and I mean, I granted, we're in Kansas here. We have like 126 across the entire state, and yet the entire state is shut down. It's insane. It does not match what's actually happening. But I drove by the hospital thinking, well, maybe there's going to be like hundreds of people outside saying, I want the test. I want the swab. I have the sniffles. I have a cough. My throat hurts. Help me. And no, I mean, it was the most deserted. We have three hospitals in the city. This was the most deserted I've ever seen this particular hospital. There were two cars in the parking lot that I could see. I was shocked. I have never seen it that deserted in my entire life, and I used to live right by it. It was bizarre to me, and I'm sitting there thinking, is that ominous? Is that a good sign? I don't know, but if you want to look, you mentioned Cuomo a second ago. If you want to look at the real root behind a lot of this, it's what Cuomo is doing. I think he is posturing himself to be the Democrat nominee. I think they're going to replace Joe Biden with Cuomo. And you had him on, I believe it was the 20th or the 24th, saying, we need masks. The government won't send us masks. You sent us 400. We need 30,000. This is what the man said. Well, then it comes out President Trump actually sent them 4,000, and 2,000 of those were sitting in a warehouse in New Jersey. This has now been popularized. Trump has talked about it. So they find out they're sitting in a warehouse in New Jersey, and then Cuomo comes up and says, well, actually, we have enough masks and we will distribute them as necessary. So I there is part of me, I mean, I really, really hope that Jim Hoft is right, because I tend to agree with him. What we're seeing in reality does not match what we're seeing on the TV screens and on our smartphones. It just doesn't match up.
Well, look, the Cuomos, you know, they have thick skulls, okay? And so there's not much room for a brain inside. Honestly, it's almost funny. Like, part of me is kind of endeared by it, just the kind of normalcy, like the average man kind of angle of it. But if they weren't such liberal frauds, it would be more enjoyable. But they don't seem to measure things very well, do they? Where Cuomo is having a press conference and he thinks, hey, I've got this stash of ventilators and masks and everything. I'm going to put them behind me on display for the cameras while I'm bitching about how I don't have masks and ventilators. And you're just like, wow, you didn't even have the foresight to see that. And then the other day, and this is just weird, okay? I really don't even know. Because I don't care. Look, if you want to pierce your nipples, that's none of my business. But I think it's pretty clear that Mayor Andrew Cuomo has pierced nipples. Okay. It even looks like a double Dutch deal. I don't know if it's called that, but it's like two piercings, like an X into his nipples. Okay. I'm serious. I don't know if Tom has seen this. All right. We're about to go to break. We're going to have to show this, folks. Look, I'm asking though. So Mayor Cuomo obviously has some deal with his nipples being pierced or some kink with like a nipple thing on. I don't know what it is, but has he been checked for a nixivum scar? That's what I want to know.
Infowars.com/show.
Interdimensional, multi-universal. Owen Schroyer here with you on the InfoWars War Room. Tom Papert with us for another segment from nationalfile.com. All right, let's go where, well, no man wants to go, but people are wondering. Andrew Cuomo's nipples. Okay, folks, I'm not trying to be funny here. People are really wondering why Andrew Cuomo is doing press conferences with what appears to be some sort of nipple torture going on under his T-shirt. But seriously, it's not even a debate. The guy obviously has, you know, either pierced nipples or some sort of weird, like, nipple device. I don't even want to get into it. Folks, look, I'll tell you something. When I was doing some of my final projects for my psychology degree, I had to do a couple of interesting psychoanalyses of certain people. And look, I learned some interesting things about sex kinks in daily activity, okay? I'll just put it to you like that. Let's just say certain people have found a way to get their rocks off just in their daily routine, okay? I'm just going to leave it at that. We won't get too graphic. So it's none of my business what Andrew Cuomo wants to do with his body, okay? But the internet is wondering, what is the deal with the mayor of New York having press conferences with clearly, you know, nipple piercings or something going on with his nipples? Obviously, you know, it's a weird kink or whatever, I guess he's got. So I'm just curious, has he been investigated for a Nixivum scar? I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, maybe look into that. He's been over there in New York for a while. He's got some nipple thing going on. Maybe he's been involved with Nixivum.
I wouldn't put it past him, because the thing about New York Democrats is they are all tied together at the hip. I mean, that is part of the reason why, assuming everything doesn't change. I mean, it was reported 2 months ago before the coronavirus hit that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's district may be redrawn. She may not have a job come next cycle. And the reason for that is because she's not playing nice with the local Democrats. But of course, Hillary Clinton, who received illegal campaign contributions in 2008 from next the guy behind it all, the guy at the top who's now going to hopefully die in prison, she received donations from this guy. This guy is intimately acquainted with New York Democrats. He gives them money. This was right after Hillary Clinton got done being a New York senator under what some consider very strange. I mean, there was a plane crash. Very strange. So I wouldn't put it past
the guy
him.
That was going to beat her died in a plane crash, and she won all of a sudden.
Exactly. And this is, again, just a couple years before Nexium is sending her God knows how much money illegally. It was illegal campaign contributions that, I mean, I guess you don't blame the candidate for taking them. You blame the person who did it. That's why Dinesh D'Souza had to have his criminal record purged by President Trump. But I wouldn't put it past – it's not outside the realms of reality just because of how New York Democrats operate. They are one solid unit. They are in lockstep with one another. And if one of them is getting money from Nexium, who is to say that they're not all infiltrated into this sick, sick world where you're human trafficking young minor girls into the United States of America and telling them that if they do not submit to the branding, to the sex rituals, to everything else, to the sex slavery, essentially, then they will be deported and they will be killed by the cartels. This is what Nexium was all about. So it doesn't surprise me. New York Democrats are all together in the sick little world in which they operate. They all believe the same exact things, except for AOC, which, I mean, I guess that's a point in her favor. She's pushing back against the Democrat Party establishment. And we know that Nexium is deeply involved with the Democrat Party establishment in New York via Hillary Clinton.
And you guys had an expose at National File from Patrick Halley there. The crew just pulled it up. If you guys haven't read that at National File, you can check that out. InfoWars has been covering this as well. More seriously, though, yes, where is Joe Biden? He tried to make an appearance or a statement, if you will, during the coronavirus pandemic and just flubbed it. I mean, he beefed it bad. And so he hasn't been back on the public scene. Where is he? Is he okay? Is he sick? And so, yeah, you are hearing, you know, echoes. Hey, you know, Cuomo is able to speak. He's on the national scene during this. Biden's flopping, flailing around. He won't debate Bernie Sanders, by the way. I don't know if you've seen that. Biden refusing to debate Bernie Sanders again. You've got the story of Tara Reid, who has provided very detailed, let's say, portrayals of what Joe Biden did to her in the 90s. I mean, actual dates and information, something Blasey Ford, Kavanaugh's accuser, was never able to provide, provided by Reed. Mainstream media ignores that. Blasey Ford was the top story for a week or two or three, even. Tara Reid, the Biden potential victim, gets no coverage. So, yeah, I think the Democrats are looking at Cuomo right now, you know, thinking that this is a direction that they could go to avoid the Biden disaster. But if you go back in time, I don't know how Cuomo survives this. He was part of his father's campaign in the 70s, and they had a campaign slogan, "Vote for Cuomo, not the homo." So I don't know how he would survive that in what is a very, let's say, I mean, the Democrat Party is having a lot of troubles internally right now. And so I don't know how Cuomo would survive that internally. But the Democrat Party's all rigged anyway. So, I mean, how serious do you think it is, though, right now with the just total collapse of Biden as any as a legitimate candidate? Oh, by the way, Fox News is running polls saying Biden's ahead of Trump. I won't even go off on that, Jack. But, I mean, what do you think the reality of the situation is? There's no way they can go with Biden, right? There's no way they would put Biden on a stage with Trump. I mean, if Trump was smart, he would just, like, say, like, look, I'm not doing this, guys. I'm not going to sit up here and debate a man who obviously has dementia. This is not good what you're doing to him.
I mean, it would be wildly entertaining, though. You'd get a Biden up there threatening to go punch President Trump in the face. I mean, it would be Okay, so somehow, some way, the DNC got a hold of my email address. I don't know how this happened. I certainly never gave them money. I think somebody gave them my address.
You love Biden
as a prank.
You're a Biden 2020 supporter.
I actually love Hillary. She's great. She's wonderful. But
that's good.
So because I got these, they got my email address, I am getting an inside view. I was going to immediately unsubscribe, but I'm getting an inside view in their propaganda matrix. And so Biden, if you are a 30 IQ individual who is apparently in a coma, you might actually believe this. Biden is sending newsletters to his supporters that he claims to be handwriting himself. Now, of course, that's not true. He has a team. He has a big team that does this for him, and they try to make it sound like it's him. But if you believe this, well, he's just sitting comfortably at home with Dr. Biden, his wife, and they're talking about grandkids and how nice it'll be when they can get everything back to normal, and he's practicing social distancing and everything is fine and the campaign is going on, and it's very weird because we have to do everything digitally, and Biden is going to continue to be with us no matter how virtual it may be. That's almost an exact quote. Now, if you look at this article we have up at National File, you can see that Harvard, the Harvard Camps Harris poll is actually polling what Cuomo's favorability might be like on the national scale. So we've been talking about on InfoWars and on National File and on everybody with a brain has been talking about for months the idea of a brokered convention in the Democrats come July or June, whenever theirs is. And that is what is almost certainly going to happen, especially with this current corona crisis. They're going to be able – everybody is switching to mail-in ballots. They're going to be able to fudge it however they want. By the way, that might come back to hurt us in November of this year. That could – mass election fraud via mail-in ballots could ruin the entire election. But they could make it seem with these mail-ins and how corrupt the Democrat Party is, they can do whatever they want. They can make it seem like, oh, Bernie's having a comeback. Biden can't clinch it. Neither candidate have a supermajority of delegates. The superdelegates are going to have to vote in vote two. And then the superdelegates come out in the second vote and they say, well, you know who led us through this crisis? Nipple-piercing Cuomo led us through this crisis. He went on television every day to tell New Yorkers how bad Trump was. We need Cuomo. I really think this could be what we're leading to. I think that you're right. They don't want to put Biden out there.
Wait a second. Hold on. I got breaking news here. Breaking news here. Joe Biden reportedly uses the toilet sitting backwards. Hold on. This is breaking news. Joe Biden has a statement to his defense for using the toilet backwards.
In the wrong way. When you have to sit and take a Sir Harrington, you're supposed to be facing this way, so you can use the little shelf for your books and your quill and your ink.
So there it is. So Joe Biden is sitting on the toilet backwards, writing the Democrat voters specific newsletters, handwritten every day. There it is, Tom. It's settled.
It all makes sense now, Owen. Thank you. Now I understand.
See, folks, where else would you get these type of questions answered? How is Joe Biden writing the handwritten newsletters he's sending out to the Democrat Party? He does it while he sits on the toilet backwards every day, folks. Come on, you knew that. Tom Papert from NationalFile.com, thanks so much for joining us.
InfoWars.com/show.
As the shock and awe continues its reign of terror across America, we have to ask at some point, how did we get here?
Well, this is from Dr. Fauci, who wrote last month, if one assumes that the number of asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic cases is several times as high as the number of reported cases, the case fatality rate may be considerably less than 1%, and COVID-19 may ultimately be more akin to those of the severe seasonal influenza pandemic. Well, the seasonal flu's mortality rate is just 0.1%. So again, we've gone from possibly 3.4%, which is millions dying, to perhaps closer to 0.1%. See why it's important to let the data come in? Even CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta had to admit today that as bad as things can get, and they're getting pretty bad, especially in New York and some of these other hot spots, we do need to keep our perspective here.
Well, the vast majority of people, even if you're elderly, aren't going to need hospitalization. The vast majority are going to recover. The vast majority are not going to die.
2019 began with an ironic excavation of the altar and statue of Xipe Totec, the Aztec flayed god of agriculture and disease, whose worshippers wore the skin of sacrificed slaves for 20 days. This random archaeological event quietly set the tone in retrospect for what was to come. Meanwhile, exercises for a pandemic scenario codenamed Crimson Contagion began in January and ran until August of 2019. Roughly a dozen federal agencies operating in 12 states, along with the American Red Cross, American Nurses Association, and the Mayo Clinic, used the premise of a global flu epidemic originating in Chicago to identify weaknesses in the face of a real pandemic. The New York Times reported the simulation sobering results contained in a draft report dated October 2019 that has not previously been reported drove home just how underfunded, underprepared, and uncoordinated the federal government would be for a life or death battle with a virus for which no treatment existed. The draft report, marked not to be disclosed, laid out in stark detail repeated cases of confusion in the exercise. Federal agencies jockeyed over who was in charge. State officials and hospitals struggled to figure out what kind of equipment was stockpiled or available. Cities and states went their own ways on school closings. Sound familiar? And then the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, hosted Event 201.
Good morning. And thank you all for being part of this pandemic emergency board.
It began in healthy-looking pigs months, perhaps years ago. A new coronavirus spread silently within herds. Gradually, farmers started getting sick. Infected people got a respiratory illness with symptoms ranging from mild flu-like signs to severe pneumonia. The sickest required intensive care. Many died.
It's not just about handing people a piece of knowledge. It's also about how we incentivize them to manage their behaviors, which in any communicable disease outbreak, behavior of one sort will minimize your chance of getting a disease versus behavior of another sort, which may maximize that chance.
Alarming news emerging from social media companies today about the CAPS pandemic. Twitter and Facebook are reporting they've identified and deleted a disturbing number of accounts dedicated to spreading disinformation about the outbreak. For more on this, we go to our correspondent, Catalina Parks.
Chen, these accounts were created by several state-sponsored groups intending to sow political discord, and some individuals are seemingly seeking to gain financial advantages. Violence against healthcare workers and minority populations has been increasing. A recent riot highlights the real danger in these posts.
The elite Event 201 had the money and the self-proclaimed experts, but why has nothing actually come from it in real time? Was it simply warning a small group of elites what was coming? Time and time again, drills are exercised by the elite and governments months before an actual horrific event occurs. How long will we allow these white-collar criminals to practice their manipulation of the taxpaying public with blatant exercises of unspeakable tragedy? John Bound reporting.
Another great report from John Bound that can be found at Band.video. Man, I'm telling you, I'm watching that report. I'm just screaming inside watching what's happening, folks. This is so orchestrated and manipulated to control humanity. That's all it is. It's just an exercise of fear-mongering. Yeah, the virus is real. It's killing people. But The response is just to take our freedom. Incredible, folks. I just don't even know how to properly analyze it. Other than to just show you what's going on. Your freedoms are being eroded. Your civil liberties are being destroyed. All in the name of fear-mongering and panic over this coronavirus, which obviously came out of China. We should all be asking questions about Event 201. We should all be asking questions about the biological weapons research lab in China. We should all be asking these questions. But instead, we're just told to shelter in place and shut up. Of course you are. And I was thinking, too, while I was watching that, what happens, I think, is either America rejects this on the four. And this attempt to get Trump and to kill American freedoms dies before it really gets a stranglehold. Like right now, it's got us in a hold, and it's like maybe one or two twitches away from putting us into an armbar or a lock or forcing us to tap out. With the fear, though, it's all fear. It's all panic. So we can reject it on the four now. And say, you know what? No, we're not buying into the panic. We're not shutting down the economy. We know what you're doing. We know it came out of China. We know that you're not answering the real questions. Instead, just sowing fear and shutting down the economy and taking our freedoms. We're not going to have any of it. We're free. We're not listening anymore. We're reopening the business. You can't tell us not to. We're going to church. We're having birthday parties. We're reopening things. Okay? You don't like it? Suck it. Or we go into complete annihilation of our freedoms now. And guys, roll the B-roll of the airport in Ukraine, because this is it, folks. It was the combination of that John Bowne report, listening to that, and then in my head, seeing the B-roll from the Ukrainian airport where they're told to be forced quarantine at the airport for weeks, and they just break out. And they just open the doors and they just break out, hundreds of them. And the doctors and the law enforcement tries to stop them. They can't do it. Exactly. And so maybe that's what it takes. So we can either defeat this tyranny on the four, which is right now, by calling it out for what it is and rejecting it. Or we'll go under this slavery, this mental slavery, this erosion of our rights, and we'll deal with it. And then we'll have a moment like this. This is just a little example. We'll have a worldwide moment like this where we all bust down the doors of tyranny and we all say no more. That's the only two ways this goes. The only two way this goes. Now, I want to open up the phone lines because I do want to take your calls. 877-789-2539. Anything we've discussed so far today on the War Room is fair game. 877-789-2539. But that's where we're at, folks. And you listen to that panel of experts at the Event 201, and I'm just sitting here like, you know what? Here's an idea. Why don't these people quit having discussion panels and boards and meetings and groups and confabs and about controlling us? That's all it is. And you can call it the left. You can use all these political terminologies and nuances, but it's the same thing, folks. These are authoritarians. These are totalitarians. They literally hold drills to figure out how they can control you, control information, control your freech, control your access and means of travel and protection. I'm going to calm down right now because my blood is starting to boil. So before I go off the hinges here, I'm just going to take a deep breath and calm down because I am ticked right now. I am so mad right now on the inside, and I usually like to wear it on my sleeve, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to yell. I told myself I wouldn't yell today. Told myself I'd control my temper. So I'm going to do that. Okay. But when I see a panel of control freaks holding a secret board meeting, Event 201, planning out a coronavirus outbreak just as it came out, and they're going to sit here and plan how they're going to control us when this happens, go f*** yourself. Seriously. Anybody who wants to have a panel discussion about how you can control humans, you. I seriously need to calm down, okay? Because I'm starting to get raged. I have an anger problem, obviously, dealing with this stuff. But it's not a problem. It's actually a blessing. I'm glad that God put this temperament in me. Because let me tell you, every human being with a beating heart and a soul should be screaming out for freedom more than ever right now. They are clamping down. They're putting their boots on our necks. They're strangling us. They're putting us in a full Nelson, man. And they've manufactured the whole damn thing, okay? I'm going to stop. All right, I'm going to stop. Let's get your calls lined up here. Let's go to this clip. I'm about to blow up here, and I don't want to do it. I told myself I wouldn't do it today. So let's go to this clip. This mayor of Houston really seems to figure it out, guys. The mayor of Houston has figured it out, okay? We need to stop crime during this coronavirus epidemic. So let's go to the mayor of Houston to figure out how we're going to do just that.
And let me just make my plea. Until the coronavirus is resolved, criminals take a break. Okay, stay home. Okay, stay home and don't commit any crimes. And that way they'll stay safe and out of jail. And police officers will stay safe and can go home to their families.
There okay? It is. Well, so that's the solution to everything. So, hey, it's the same thing with the gun rights argument. Yeah, take all of our guns and just tell the criminals, hey, guys, don't commit any crimes with guns. Criminals, please just turn your guns in, would you please? While you're at it, just stop committing crime, too. Could you do that? That'd be nice. Okay. And Andrew Cuomo's nipples aren't pierced. I'm sorry, folks. I'm just telling you, I'm at a boiling point right now. Yeah, that's we found a secret photo of Andrew Cuomo here, guys. So I just figured we'd air this for you. This is an official photo of Andrew Cuomo right here. Of course, we're joking. Our Photoshop team did this. But it might be. You never know. I'm trying not to lose my temper and still remain focused. But it's just like I said at the beginning of the show. It's the dust has settled and it's more clear to me now. And we can get into the semantics and the nuances of how it started and this and that. But folks, we're dealing with an all-out assault on our way of life. We're dealing with an all-out assault on our civil liberties. We're dealing with an all-out assault on our reality, our psychology. It's all being manipulated right now. It's all being manipulated right now. And all it takes is for citizens of the world and Americans to realize the shackles that have been put on your mind and your consciousness are made of paper. And you can break them away as soon as you make the choice. And as soon as we all make that choice, just like at the airport in Ukraine, when they were told to shelter in place, they have to quarantine in the airport for 2 weeks and they barged down the doors and said, no, that's where we're at, folks. So we have the choice right now. Because they'll Katie bar those doors and they'll seal them shut. And we'll be dead. So we have the choice now. We can break out of this now. We can reject the tyranny now on its face, on the outset. Or we can go into tyranny, go into global enslavement, go into global government, and basically die as far as our spirit is concerned, our soul is concerned, and then have to fight the battle down the road
or we can do it now. I say do it now. I say fight for freedom now.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
I'm going to maintain my calm today. I'm not going to go Super Saiyan. Who are trying to bait me? I'm going to maintain. Told myself I would. I'm going to go to your phone calls. Got a couple more news stories I can hit. I still have a clip of Mike Lindell you've probably never seen that explains why the left hates him so much. But I just cannot emphasize this enough. It's so complicated, yet it's so simple. Okay? It's so complicated, yet it's so simple. And they know, the establishment knows, the social engineers know how to use emotion against us and fear against us, and that's what's being driven right now. And so it's not just the fear of the government or the fear of a virus, it's now the fear that you don't want to be a social outcast by saying you're not afraid of the coronavirus. You don't be a social outcast saying you're not going to do in a lockdown. So you're being bullied and henpecked from every angle into tyranny. And that's how it happens. And because we're so dilapidated, because we've become such suckers for media and all the other crap of degeneracy, we can't even stand up for our own freedoms. I need to just stop, because I'm going to take your phone calls. I need to be diligent about this. I could go on forever, but just realize we're not fighting the coronavirus, folks. We're fighting government tyranny, okay? That's what we're fighting. So I'm getting damn sick and tired press conference every damn day over coronavirus while they're taking my freedoms. I'm going to calm down. I didn't do it. I got close. I didn't do it. All right? I got close to exploding, but I didn't do it. All right? We're going to calm down. Now, even though this is my third cup of coffee, I'm really challenging myself today, aren't I? The coffee's just so good, okay? So even though I'm already on edge and about to spontaneously combust on air, I'm drinking the coffee, but I'm remaining calm. And it's because the coffee is so good, I cannot help myself. The Patriot Blend coffee from InfoWarsStore.com. My favorite coffee, the crew's favorite coffee. By the way, we just extended, you know, at band.video with the American countdown. So the crew works even more hours now. We didn't hire a new crew, folks. We just extended the crew's hours. They didn't even blink. They didn't even blink. And I was even actually, I won't say it, but I was running another idea by the crew before the show that would mean more work for them, more extended hours for them. And they're like, no, we're ready. Like, no questions asked. So we have the best crew here at InfoWars, and it's all possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. And hey, some of it's probably possible because of the coffee at InfoWarsStore.com. The long hours, the long nights, sometimes there's never any days off. It's either the coffee or the Turbo Force is kind of the way it goes around here. Either you're drinking the coffee all day, all night, just, you know, cup, 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 or you know you're in it for like a 10-hour, just one, just 10 hours, and so you hit the Turbo Force from InfoWarsStore.com. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com, folks. It's just so beautiful what we've done here with your support and everything we've built, you've built, with InfoWars and Band.video and News Wars and everything else. So salute the audience, salute the crew, and remember, folks, get your coffee at InfoWarsStore.com. Get your energy drink, Turbo Force, at InfoWarsStore.com, and check out the brand new Space Force t-shirts. In fact, guys, I never got a clear, distinct answer. Is this t-shirt sold out at InfoWarsStore.com, the Space Force t-shirt I'm wearing? So this t-shirt, you're probably really jealous. You should be. Limited edition Space Force t-shirt. This is already sold out at InfoWarsStore.com. Haha, I have like four of them. But I'm not giving you any. But we have four brand new Space Force t-shirts
limited edition at InfoWarsStore.com. They're up right now. Okay. I've managed to maintain my calm. We're going to continue to maintain the calm. We have spoken earlier. I talked about Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. He's obviously meeting with lawyers right now. They're figuring out what he can do, but hopefully we'll have him on tomorrow. But let's go to your phone calls right now. Let's start with John in Virginia. Go ahead, John.
Hey, what up, Owen? Great to hear from you again. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, great to hear from you.
Yeah. So I've had this burning question. I've talked to a lot of people about this, including some of my friends. And, you know, I'm going to start off by saying, I do think some of this is Trump's fault. I think a lot of, like, the media had hyped it up to, like, to deceive him into making this decision to not close the borders immediately. But I was just wondering, how is it that countries like our neighbors, Canada and Mexico, as well as countries like India or Russia, have far less cases than the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Poland, Russia, Sweden didn't do a lockdown, and they're not panicking. There was some other country that didn't do lockdown that's doing just fine. I think it was South Korea. So that is an interesting question. And I think you go down the angle of media hype, media coverage. It's like this whole thing now they're saying the United States has more deaths than China, more cases than China's freaking lying. Like, really? You're going to promote that as real news? Like, U.S. now, more cases than China. Oh, really? First of all, the reason why the U.S. has the most cases is because we test more than anybody else. Maybe that's by design. Second of all, China's obviously lying about the numbers. If you recall, the whole panic started out of China. They're still releasing videos. People like seizing in the streets, coughing up blood, just exploding into midair from coronavirus, apparently. Well, how come we're not seeing any of that? It doesn't add up. Look, again, the virus is obviously something that's real, killing people, infecting people. The origins of it, Wuhan from a release during the military games, Event 201, or from the lab, obviously that's the case. It's being used to destroy humanity. It's being used to bring in all the panopticonic control grid that the New World Order, One World Government's been having wet dreams about forever. And this virus is bringing it all in, and we're not even questioning it or standing up to it because we're so in fear over this virus, where if we actually looked around for 1 second, instead of being gaslit, we'd realize it's not even that scary right now.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with a lot of those points. And just the last point I wanted to make is that one thing that I especially see, like, CNN not bringing up is that the U.S. in particular has a lower mortality rate than worldwide. And I think that's a key part that they're leaving out. And that if you don't research that, you won't know that.
But that's not part of the plan. See, the plan is to drive Americans into panic and then shelter them in place, set the precedent anytime there's a viral outbreak, make a big news story of it, and then take all their freedoms permanently.
Yeah, that was just the last point I want to make. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, thank you. Well, the question, though, that you asked is a fair question. How could the United States have done better? And the only thing I would say was just shut down the border sooner. But that's because that should have been done years ago, not for some virus, because we have an illegal immigration problem. I was literally giving speeches last February saying, why isn't Trump shutting down the border of all sides? But hey, this story came out today. Under coronavirus immigration measures, U.S. is expelling border crossers to Mexico in an average of 96 minutes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's about 95 minutes longer than I'd like to see it. But I guess it's a step. So on one hand, they're releasing illegal immigrants from jail. On the other hand, they're finally shutting down the border.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Remember this. The projections the experts in mainstream news make are almost always wrong. The projections for climate change, wrong. The projections for elections, wrong. The projections, the cones for hurricanes, wrong. The projections for viral outbreaks, wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. But yet, we let these people dictate our freedoms. Boy. I don't know why. I just get so mad when I realize all this. I can't even focus.
So let me just go back to your phone calls, because we got a lot of great callers. And if I just let this deter my focus, I'll fail today. So let's go out to the callers. I can tell they're going to be great. Let's go and start with Ali in California. Go ahead, Ali.
Hey, Owen. How you doing, brother? Thank you for taking my call. I'm out here in California in a small conservative town. They didn't shut down everything, but for some reason, the big establishment stores are all closing down, and they told them not to close. They don't have to close, but they still did. And everybody's closing, and we only got like 30 cases, and then all of a sudden it jumped up to like 70 in one day. And nobody knows anybody that's infected, supposedly.
Well, and there's this other thing happening, too. Look, it's tough for me because I try to walk a tightrope here, but like, it's like even I fall victim to the hen pecking and the bullying, and I'm like, yeah, it's a real virus. But it's like all the confirmation, like, oh, I know somebody. It's like, yeah, if you actively search for somebody that has coronavirus, you're going to find it. Yeah, a dime a dozen. Somebody, you know, somebody's going to know somebody with coronavirus. But it's just like if you tuned out from the news and you weren't searching for coronavirus around every corner, you wouldn't even know what's going on.
Tell you, I have a small store in a low-income community, and they're all bums, they're homeless people and stuff. And a few months ago, me and my wife started noticing that a lot of our homeless customers were dying of a pneumonia-like disease. About five of them in 2 months died from some kind of pneumonia disease, and that's probably it. And that was last year in November. It was weird.
Yeah, notice no panic, and a lot of people reported getting sick then. It's probably the same thing or it's something different. Doesn't matter. We don't shut down society because of a flu bug, okay? Thanks for the call, Ali. Let's go to Marcus in Illinois. Go ahead, Marcus.
Owen, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
All right. Yeah, sitting there today. I'm at work right now, and I got an emergency text saying that they were looking for any medical healthcare professionals and a website to visit. So I thought that was strange, but in this times I'm not surprised. And I thought it was odd. And like you, a lot of people, like you and Robert Barnes did today, I got on there on Facebook with all these people, and I said, compare it with the Spanish flu. And everybody's like, you can't compare it with the Spanish flu and stuff like that. And like you said, St. Louis, they locked down somewhat to a certain point, and then it wound up coming back, whereas Philadelphia, you know, everybody's just in an uproar. And like you said, you got to just turn off the TVs and get out in nature and forget it all, because this is complete nonsense.
Oh, it was my only recourse to get away from it. No pun intended recourse. It's going to the golf course. And it was just like, you're out in nature. It's like I can't even explain it. Nobody's buying into the hysteria except like the desperate people that aren't independent at all, fully relying on the system, but like love it. Like want Mark Zuckerberg to be their daddy type of thing. But, you know, it's funny because it's like it just indicates more that there are elements of this this is just a worldwide drill. All the mass emergency texts that they're sending out, all the measures they've been taking, it doesn't add up, folks. We've had diseases in recent history that are more deadly, more cases, but no panic, no hysteria, none of the economic shutdown. Why this? Why the emergency siren on the Empire State Building? This is clearly all an attempt to ruin America, ruin Trump's presidency, destroy our freedoms, destroy our economy.
It's a drill. It's a real virus. It's everything. It's meant to destroy the American way of life, and it's worked. Thanks for the call, Marcus. Let's go to another caller in California who said he got emergency texts as well. Bradar in California. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up? It's Bradar on top of the police radar. Yeah, so I was just saying how many texts are they going to keep sending us? Are they just going to wait a month and then, oh, we're going to lock you down another month? And people are just going to succumb to, okay, it's just another month. They're not going to see the pattern. Like, what are they thinking, that they're just going to stay in their house just because they text you and tell you to stay? That's how.
Well, it's like you have Amazon workers outside of the facility, like in tears, like, oh, close the facility. Like, oh my gosh, what about health? You don't even care about people's life. Quit! Don't go to work! Like, what the hell, dude?
When has the government ever cared about if who, like, lives or dies? It's better for them if we all die. So it's like, they're not really trying to get people to believe that they're trying to keep us safe by this. They're making it easier on them.
What was the emergency text you received?
It was just from the county, Contra Costa County Health Department, and it was like that emergency text where they can just, they don't even have my number. They just like,
it just pops up like an Amber Alert.
Exactly. I thought it was an Amber Alert. And then it just said, go to this website for more information. And then the website's crashed because everybody's probably looking at the information and they're not even prepared to handle
that. Yeah, I had the same thing actually on my phone, because a siren goes off with an Amber Alert. And so yesterday I was driving and a siren went off on my phone. I was like, it kind of spooked me. I was like, oh yeah, it's just the Amber Alert. And it wasn't. So it's just like, how, it's just crazy. I'm sorry. I got to take another call. Thank you for the call, Bradar. Let's go to Frank in California. Go ahead, Frank.
Owen Schroyer, cuck destroyer. Owen Schroyer, cuck destroyer.
All right. We got it. That's great.
Destroyer, millennial in a full beard. Info power. He's the world's most fiercest millennial.
All right, we're doing this.
He's a millennial in a full beard, and he's lean. When the evil globalists attack, this cisgender boy, don't cut him no slack. Owen Schroyer, cuck destroyer. Owen Schroyer, cuck destroyer. Owen Schroyer, cuck destroyer. Millennial in a full beard, info power. AJ taught them to be red pill memes. He's a millennial in a full beard, and he's lean. Owen Schroyer leads the war room team. Harrison is deep but cool. Savannah has the heart of every single dude. Owen Schroyer, cut destroyer. Owen Schroyer, cut
destroyer. All right. Look. This has been very nice. It was a beautiful rendition. You call in with your poems and songs, and it's really good. But you got 60 seconds. Is there something serious you wanted to say?
I did. How do we get back from here? The power is in the people. Notice Trump only made it guidelines. He's letting the leftists show their color. We need to step out of our shell. Christians, if you're a pastor listening to this, open up for Easter. Don't fear getting arrested or shut down. Look into the great ejection of the 17th century England. People like William Penn, people got burned at the stake for not subjecting themselves to the law.
No, you know what? That's it exactly. Frankie, thank you for the call. That's it exactly, folks. See, look, I'm not in Trump's head. I can only go off of what I see. Trump's made his own measurements and decisions, but he has kind of let the left show their authoritarian streak, and he's kind of just like, oh, I'm against the ropes, trying to do everything I can from the henpeckers. But it's like, that's it. The answer is you, folks. Be the modern-day Paul Revere. People want to talk about coronavirus all day long. Say, I'm not afraid of coronavirus. I'm afraid of tyranny, and I'll fight it till I'm dead.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it couldn't be clearer. The deep state, the shadow government, the new world order, the Illuminati, call it what you want. They're going for broke right now, and they're using the coronavirus to do it. And now they're saying, if you don't abide by the shutdown, and if you don't give away your freedoms, you will die. And they're sending it out on mass texts. But I think America is going to wake up from this, flex their muscles, and
brush this globalist fly off of our neck like it deserves to be brushed off. I'm going to go back to your phone calls, but let me hit the rest of this news and play the clip that I said I would play. So, ladies and gentlemen, you may have seen mainstream news attacking Mike Lindell. I figured out why. Now, there was a movie called Unplanned. Mike Lindell actually played in it, but let's watch the clip. Mike Lindell takes a bulldozer to Planned Parenthood.
Ready? Are you kidding? I've been waiting for this my whole life.
And Mike Lindell takes the bulldozer and tears down the Planned Parenthood sign. And then salutes. And now you know why they hate Mike Lindell. He gives God the glory when he has the public stage, and he gleefully bulldozes a Planned Parenthood. Doesn't get much better than that. All right, let me do the news blitz now. This is just, I'm not going to have time, and maybe I'll come back to this, but it's what we already knew they would do, but maybe they're doing it without us even noticing. But somebody did notice it on an NBC Nightly News broadcast. They played a clip of Lieutenant Colonel Roberto Hernandez from last December. And if you watch this clip, it's never been more evident to me that they're clearly using some sort of AI facial masking to... Guys, let's play it if we can in slow motion. If not, it's no big deal. But you can go look at it on YouTube for yourself. NBC Nightly News broadcast, December 8, 2020. NBC Nightly News, it was actually from 2019, but the date is wrong on the clip. But, I mean, folks, this is clearly not natural face movement here. And so you see that, and it just makes you wonder, how many other times have they run literally a fake AI facial masking system? It would explain why there's detail on the front of his face, but not on the edges. And it would explain why his face seemingly morphs in the middle of the interview. So that's very strange. All right, news blitz. I'm going to your calls. Upper West Side man jumps to his death. 57-year-old man jumped to his death from the window of Upper Side West Side apartment. That was in New York, so the suicides from coronavirus are probably going to ratchet up. Suspected SARS virus and flu samples found in luggage. FBI report describes China's biosecurity risk. Let's not forget about the one Harvard law professor, or the Harvard guy, biochemist or whatever it was, working with China. He was investigated. They tried to sneak bio material in a sock on a domestic flight. So it's already all been going on, but now we all panic. FDA issues limited emergency use authorization for two drugs usually used to treat malaria. This is from malaria, CNN. And then they're saying there's no scientific evidence that hydroxychloroquine works to fight the coronavirus. They're literally saying that, folks. Do you not see how this is all just a fraudulent power grab? How the pandemic will end in the Atlantic? Guess how, folks? You give up all your freedoms and take a forced vaccination. That's how the pandemic will end, according to The Atlantic. As predicted, they're already getting ready for another $1 trillion stimulus bill, ladies and gentlemen. Trump signals agreement with Pelosi on infrastructure spending in phase four stimulus bill. How big is this sucker going to be? $5 trillion, $10 trillion, a gajillion? George Soros funds numerous anti-Trump coronavirus ads. So while Trump is working for free, giving his salary to people in the healthcare industry, people like Drew Brees and others giving the significant portion of their wealth to help battle this with the frontline hospital workers, George Soros is literally giving tens of millions of dollars to run anti-Trump coronavirus ads on TV. Fuck that guy. Sorry, dump that. I almost don't even want to cover this because it's so crazy to me. I'll just tell you what's going through my head. Story on the San Francisco Chronicle. Captain of aircraft carrier with growing coronavirus outbreak pleads for help from Navy. Now, the reason why I'm confused about this is the captain of a nuclear aircraft carrier 100 sailors infected with coronavirus. Now, if you remember, mainstream news was complaining, why isn't the military giving us their coronavirus numbers? Well, duh, they don't want the world to know what's going on inside the military. But then this guy reaches out to San Francisco Chronicle and says, hey, my nuclear aircraft carrier is basically handicapped because we're all sick. We need help. I don't know. Just seems suspicious to me. Oh, in Florida, they're now mandating vaccines. That's right. They've released the documents. I've got them right here. It's at Infowars.com. And how is this happening? Lady Gaga just got off the phone with the director of the World Health Organization. She's ready to fight coronavirus. Why is she even on the phone with the World Health Organization? CNN bottom line on Chris Cuomo last night. Trump incorrectly labels death as the enemy. Well, yes, folks, that's because CNN is pro-death. Media melts down over the MyPillow CEO taking part in White House coronavirus briefing. We broke that down. Chris Cuomo has coronavirus, he says. Prayers to him. Hope he survives. Office of the Inspector General Oversight Integrity Guidance Committee. The FBI is still abusing the FISA system. All right, let's take some calls here. I just asked you to make it quick. Let's go to Steven in Florida. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Yeah, hey, Owen. First of all, I know you guys are out of the vitamin mineral fusion right now, so I just want to remind everyone, Alex had, made me aware of this. You can go to longevity.com and get the Beyond Tangy Tangerine 2.0. In the meantime, that's a really good vitamin supplement. Quick things. The Houston mayor's, a notification to criminals. That reminded me of Sweden's anti-rape commercial, women turning around. I've got the force. I'm going to stop the Muslim invaders. It's that stupid.
They give them wristbands that say, don't rape me or whatever, and they say, that'll protect you.
As far as those emergency texture callers we're talking about, it reminded me, remember Hawaii got a text to everybody in the state about an imminent missile attack that was coming and people were freaking out and it was all fake? So that's probably why they're getting those texts.
Yeah, and that's why I get so mad. It's like people just don't understand how they're just being twisted and turned around in a big game. It's like they don't even mind being pawns in someone else's game of chess. It's almost like they like it.
Right. Two quick things. Okay, the former FDA head, Scott Gottlieb, now he's saying they want to have everyone have GPS tracking devices and then eventually forced inoculation. That's coming.
Yeah, and who's behind that? The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Yeah, right. And the last thing I want to say is this. I finally got the big picture of this whole thing. You know, the coronavirus, yes, it's a health threat, but the bigger threat, and this is why I believe millions are going to die, because as Mike Adams says, who, by the way, President Trump vindicated yesterday, he projected 2.16 million dead by July 4th. Trump said 2.2 million would be dead if nothing was done. So there you go. But the thing is that Mike Adams had mentioned about the fact that I just lost my train of thought. Basically it's the economic thing. This is what I see coming. We're going to have millions dead because panic is going to turn to violence with the supply chain being interrupted.
Or suicide, or who knows what happens if this continues. But exactly. And I think the reason why President Trump is saying 2 million dead if we didn't do anything, that's to bolster his own narrative to say, hey, look, I helped stop this thing. So he's trying to use this panic-demic and the fraudulent aspects of it by the establishment and deep state to his advantage. All right, final caller, Evan in Utah, 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen, how are you? Thank you for taking my call, and I want you to know I really appreciate what you guys do.
Thank you.
For the record, I've got a problem with my phone's earpiece, so I do have to be on my speakerphone.
Well, you sound good, so just go ahead.
Okay, if it starts to echo, just be patient with me. So I'm an analytical researcher, and I've been doing it as a supplemental income for about 10 years. One of my closest personal friends, and I'm going to go as quick as I can because I have a lot to offer. One of my closest personal friends of 14 years is a guy named Lou Kramer. Have your crew look this guy up. L-E-W-C-R-A-M-E-R. He is the elite chairman, the chairman of the elite committee of the National Republican Committee here in Utah. I can send you pictures of the guy at my apartment just last month. I do analytical reports for them, for the police department out here, for the church. So I've got a unique understanding.
I got 5 seconds, man.
Well, I can't even basically say hello in 5 seconds.
Sorry, man, I got a clock. I don't know what you want me to do. Next time, we'll travel through another dimension in another universe. You stay classy.